Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us begin this evening Thanksgiving worship service with the singing of Psalter 268, all the verses. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice. It is all the verses of 268.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, thereof the 100th Psalm. But first, we would like to read Article 13, which deals with divine providence from the Confession of Faith, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 10 and 11. Article 13 of our Confession of Faith, titled Divine Providence. We believe that the same God, after he had created all things, did not forsake them, nor give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. Nevertheless, God neither is the author of, nor can he be charged with, the sins which are committed. For his power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that he orders and executes his work in the most excellent and just manner, even then when devils and wicked men act unjustly. And as to what he doth surpassing human understanding, we will not curiously inquire into further than our capacity will admit of. But with the greatest humility and reverence, adore the righteous judgments of God, which are hid from us, contenting ourselves that we are disciples of Christ to learn only those things which he has revealed to us in his word, without transgressing these limits. This doctrine affords us unspeakable consolation, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under his power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we do entirely trust, being persuaded that he so restrains the devil and all our enemies that, without his will and permission, they cannot hurt us. Therefore, we reject that damnable error of the Epicureans, who say that God regards nothing, but leaves all things to chance. We mention Psalm 100. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer the DeBee family with the passing away of her brother. Let us ask the Lord for his presence among us and his a blessing on his word. Almighty, eternal creator of the heavens and of the earth, we have again heard from thy precious word of how we are to enter into thy house with gladness, with singing, with a heart that is inflamed to love thee, to praise thee, to serve thee. Lord, thou art so worthy that thou would be in all of our hearts. Thou hast made us for that one purpose, to praise thee, to live with that joy daily, praising and glorifying thee. But Lord, we confess before thee then in this evening that by nature we have nothing of these things in our hearts. It's the opposite. We only delight in serving self and following our own pleasures. And Lord, after thy grace, how we are so far, so often from that place that we truly enter into thy house with joy, meditating upon thee of how great thou art, as thou art that faithful Father in heaven that cares for all things, that not even a hair from our head can fall from our head to the ground without thy will. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would remember all thy dear children. Give, that they may enter into thy courts with thanksgiving, with praise, that we may meditate upon thee in the week, and that with hunger and thirst and longing, that we want to be in thy house, to hear thy word, to hear thy voice, to truly worship thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then this evening that thou would wash us and cleanse us of all our many sins. And Lord, we pray, thou who art that great and almighty God, and as we have heard from this psalm, that thou art good, that thou art merciful, and thou art everlasting. Thou changest not. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. May that be a comfort unto us. Many things in our lives change, but thou art the same. The feelings of thy people also change. They could be at heights at times, but also in the depths. Their feelings go up and down, but thou art that same God. Thou art that same Savior. Thou art that rock of salvation. Oh, may we then be resting upon thee, looking up unto thee, worshiping thee. Bring us to that place that leper was brought at thy feet, with a loud voice glorifying thee, in the dust bowing, and yet worshiping thee. Lord, we pray, remember also that family who is suddenly in this morning plunged into mourning with the loss of a husband, a brother, a brother-in-law, and other relatives. Oh Lord, he went to bed last night and he fell asleep and he never woke up. May that speak to us. How do we know tonight if we will not also be in the same situation, going to bed and not waking up, but having to appear before our Maker, having to give an account of our lives? Oh, we beg thee then, sanctify this calling to each of our hearts, that we may make haste to meet thee. And oh, we beg thee, Lord, then by thy Spirit, by thy word, that thou would prepare us for that moment that each one of us must leave this life to stand before thee. Teach us that we cannot stand before thee with all our sin, and that we are sinful, polluted, corrupt, from head to toe, within and without, and there will only be one answer. We must be condemned. Teach us of that only way that we may meet thee in peace, and that is by thy grace, by that precious, holy, precious Savior Jesus Christ, that only mediator, that only Redeemer. O Lord, wilt thou then reveal him unto us personally, and remember that poor needy people who cannot trust anything in self, who stand in the midst of death and who long to hear thy voice speaking unto their souls again, I am thy salvation. Lord, bless thy word richly, then to the conversion of sinners, and that thy people, thy precious lambs, and thy dear sheep may grow and in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray then, comfort that mourning family and remember them in this week when they also need to stand around an open grave. Lord, may thy word also be proclaimed, and that thy word may be blessed mightily, powerfully, that the death of one may be the spiritual life of many. Lord, again we have come into thy house in this evening. It's thy mercy, it's thy goodness, it's thy long-suffering patience unto unworthy sinners. Lord, we beg thee, every time is a new time, and we beg thee that thou would come with thy Spirit. Help thy servant to preach, give him the unction of the Holy Spirit, and help each one to listen. Cast out that evil one who likes to whisper, who likes to draw away our attention, who likes to pluck at that seed. Oh, wilt thou cast him out and give us an hour of peace in thy house? Could it be in thy favor, with thy presence, under thy wings? Lord, we pray then, remember this whole world. We beg thee, bless thy word richly in our nation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in the past, our nation was founded on Christian principles, but we have left thee. We have cast thee out of Parliament, and we have turned away to follow our own ways, our own hearts, our own desires. Have mercy upon us. Oh, we beg thee, wilt thou give us God-fearing leaders in this country? Renew the hearts of those who rule over us, and that thy word may become precious to them, that they may search the scriptures to know thy will, how to lead this nation, this great nation. Oh, we beg thee that thy word may yet be blessed throughout Canada, and that many may yet be born again, drawn unto thee out of the darkness, unto that marvelous light. Oh, send forth then thy servants, call many more, Lord, in thy mercy, not only in our denomination, but throughout the world, that thy precious gospel may yet be proclaimed, and that many may come to know that only name whereby we must be saved, of that precious name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask thee to remember those who in this week will be traveling. Many are traveling. We pray, keep, guide, and protect them, and bring them to the destinations, but also to their homes again. Care for the sick and afflicted. Give yet grace to bear their burdens and to lay it all at thy feet. Remember those who miss love, who feel so alone in this world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou hast created us to love one another. May those poor ones also experience the love, not only of people, but also love of God. Oh, Lord, wilt thou renew them and draw them to thyself with those cords of love, those who have never experienced the love of an earthly father. May they experience that infinite above all love, the love of God the Father. And may they also experience that he is that faithful one, that wise one, that good one, who only does good and who is faithful, who will never leave them, who will never forsake them. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember us in thy mercy in this evening. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, open thy word, open our hearts for thy word, and teach us as we meditate upon this psalm. Instruct us, Lord, convict us and convince us of our sins. not only of those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, but also of thy dear people, that we may then be driven and led and guided to that only Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived his whole life perfectly, every moment, worship thee, praising thee, with his whole heart, with his whole being. Lord, look upon us through him. We pray and ask in the forgiveness of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 170, all three stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. Our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, but thou wilt show us mercy and take their guilt away. Psalter 170, all three stanzas, and the collections for this evening. The first collection is for the school, and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi what we can read in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in these two verses, we hear an exhortation and a promise. The exhortation, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the promise, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's Thanksgiving Day. Is there thanksgiving in our hearts? Robert Murray McShane preached a sermon with the following theme, Thanksgiving obtains the Spirit. And he said, and I say this also, my dear flock, I am deeply persuaded that there will be no full and great blessings of the Holy Spirit of God until there be more true thanksgiving and praise to God. We can be very orthodox, congregation, in how we dress, and how we live, and how we talk. But is there life? Is there life what we read in Psalm 100? Is there praise and adoration for God? What is the worst thing we can do as a nation? What is the worst thing we can do as a congregation, but also individually? Receive all the blessings and forget God. The prophet Hosea had a message for the people of Israel, which we read in chapter 13, verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. We're very blessed as the congregation. Very blessed. Just go live in Bolivia for a while and you see those people. Some are rich, but there's a multitude that are poor. We're very blessed. But have we forgotten God? All the blessings, and there's no praise, no thanksgiving. How are we to live and to give thanks? Psalm 100 was written to exhort the Israelites to live in thanksgiving and in praise to God. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, I would like to meditate on this psalm. And may it be instructive for us all. That those of you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses may be convicted that what we read in this psalm you absolutely miss. There's not one spark of this in your life. And children of God, may we also be convicted of how we live so far from the heart of this psalm. A little here, maybe a little there, a little more here, a little more there, but so far from this psalm. And may we then, by God's grace with the blessing upon his word, come to truly live this psalm in our lives and as a congregation, and that the Lord would give his blessings unto us. Thanksgiving obtains the Spirit. So tonight we will meditate on Psalm 100. At this moment, I would only like to read verse 4. And maybe open your Bibles because we will be reading many different phrases and verses from this psalm tonight. So Psalm 100, at this moment, I will only read verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So the theme is a psalm of thanksgiving, an exhortation to praise Jehovah. So 4 points, 4 thoughts. The command to praise. That's our first thought. It's a command we will consider in this psalm to praise the Lord. Why are you commanded? Why am I commanded? Are we all commanded? Who is commanded? The second thought is the character of praise. What is true praise? How and when are we to praise the Almighty God? The third thought is the purpose of praise. What's the purpose of praise? Why do we come to church? Do we come to church for self? Is that worship? What is the focus in the center of worship? It's God, the triune God. And the last thought, the practice of praise. How? How are we to even begin to praise? And how, dear children of God, how are we to cultivate that praise in our lives? Yes, we need the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. And yet, we have a responsibility. How, children of God, how are we to cultivate that we would really live this psalm? And so, a psalm of thanksgiving, an exhortation to praise Jehovah. The first thought, the command to praise. Psalms 92 through 100 is thought to be sung by the Israelites in the last annual feast of the year, after the harvest. Then they would offer a peace offering, and then they would sing these psalms from 92 to 100, and the 100th, the last one, as a doxology. And if you read the Psalms, and you look in your concordance, or maybe with your computer, you print in the word praise, and you will notice in the Psalms, 35 times or more, we read of the word praise. But Psalm 100 is the only one with the title Psalm of Praise or Psalm of Thanksgiving. In this psalm, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the command to praise, to live for the praise and to thank Jehovah. You say, where do we see this command of this psalm? Let's look in our Bibles. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Congregation, it is very fitting. It is very proper that we open our mouths, and we raise our voices in thanksgiving unto our Creator, unto the Almighty Triune God. We should use our lips, our mouth, our voice box for this purpose. Listen to what we read in Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, and make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. And so when we think of this, we must confess our sins tonight on thanksgiving. At thanksgiving, we need to confess our sin because by nature, as I said in prayer, we do not have one iota of this true praise of living for the glory and praise and thanksgiving to God. And after grace, who of us, children of God, can raise our hands and say, I live this psalm. This is my life. I live this every day. Who of us? None of us can raise our hands. We're also all guilty. Why is it? First, you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Why is it? It's because your heart is only focused on self, on the world, sin, and nothing on God. It shows the absolute depravity of our sinful, wicked hearts. It shows you your need of a radical renewal, a conversion, a regeneration of your whole being, of your will, your thoughts, your affections, of everything, to live this Psalm 100. We need to be born again. We need a new heart for this to truly begin. And God's people have a small beginning of true obedience in this life. They have a small beginning of this psalm in their life. But why? Why is it so little? Why are we so often so far from this place of living according to the psalm that we also need to bow our heads and say we are sinful? We are sinful. We are yet so carnal, so tied to this world and tied to self. Yes, still tied to self. God's children are so prone to only complain about things. So quick to complain about all their cares and needs instead of living close to the Lord. And yes, we may pour out all our needs to the Lord. Absolutely. But is it only all complaints? All needs and no praise? Is the Lord happy with that type of a life of his children? And he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We notice from verse 3 that we are not only commanded to praise the Lord in the worship service. Yes, a worship service is to praise the Lord, but that we are even called to enter in, to come into the courts, to enter in, verse 3. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Have you ever entered God's house this way? Have you ever entered a worship service in your life with thanksgiving and praise, meditating upon the Lord of the Almighty One, how great thou art? This should be our life. Maybe you ask, I heard you say in the first point, this is a command for everyone. Is it? Yes, I will show you. It is a command for everyone. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All you lands. That includes all people, everyone, everyone here, everyone through the whole world. God created you and me perfect with the ability and with the desire to live according to this psalm, to live to the praise and to the glory of his most worthy name. This was Adam and Eve's delight every day in paradise. And by our fall, you and me by nature are born without the ability, but even worse, without any desire to live this way. And yet the Lord's command remains. He has the right to command us to live with the purpose that he has created us for. Psalm 148, verse 11 through 13. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. So the Lord commands all people, all children, all teenagers, all adults, all parents to live, to praise, to the glory of his name, but especially the recipients of grace, his children, the sheep of the good shepherd. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You children of God, you recipients of grace. Sometimes we like to take a break, right? I like a break too. Or go on a vacation. But there, and I say this very reverently, there is no vacation, there is no break to obey and to live according to this command. We are to continue live praising and thanking the Lord. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, all of us should wake up amazed that we're still alive. That didn't happen this morning for one man. He didn't wake up. He appeared before God. But you woke up this morning. I did. And every morning we would wake up, we should think of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth. He should be on our mind immediately. But I think, and I confess myself also, immediately we wake up, we think of all we need to do, all our cares, all our responsibilities, all about self. May God give it that we may wake up and think about Him. Is He not worthy that we wake up that way, thinking and dwelling upon Him? Or we think about that precious Savior of sinners, children of God, and that we have a longing to speak to others, that they also may know Him, that all the nations would praise Thee, O God, that all may know Thee and praise Thee? Think of the blessings we have. Are you healthy? A home with a father and a mother? A home where you may be loved and cared for? Many in Bolivia don't have this. They don't have the example of a home where there's a father and a mother that love each other. That's rare. Do you have that? What a blessing. But you also have the precious gospel. You have the word of God. God gave you a love letter from heaven. Yes, this is a love letter. A love letter where He cares about you, where He wants to speak to you, instruct you, tell you about who He is, who you are, and what you need, and of that only way of salvation. Is it not fitting, proper, that we wake up every morning with awe, with praise, for thanksgiving? Oh, how guilty we are. We should praise the Lord and thank Him. We are commanded to do this. There's three reasons in this psalm. The first reason is because God is our Creator. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Boys and girls, God made you. God made you with a mouth. God made you with a tongue. God made you with those parts of your body for a purpose, not to be rude to your parents. But God made you, teenagers, to be respectful, to care for each other, to speak love, but especially all of us adults, to speak and to praise, to use our lips, not only in psalms and singing, and it's beautiful here in this congregation, but that we would sing and praise the Lord with our hearts, our whole life, perfectly. How guilty we are. God has created you, and He has given you fresh air to breathe, because without that you would die. God keeps your heart beating. God keeps those brain waves moving. In Him we live and move our and have our being. Without the Creator, as we heard also of His providence, we could not live. So we're all, because God is our Creator, we are all commanded to praise Him without exceptions. No excuses. The second reason, we read in verse 3, we are His people. Who is this? Well, you say, that's the chosen ones. That's God's people. Just a moment, please. This is a psalm written to the Israelites. This is a psalm written to the covenant people. They are His people. And they are exhorted to praise and to live to the glory of God according to Psalm 100. God separated them. God showered blessings upon them. Instead of the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, but the Israelites, God's people. We are His people. Listen to what I read in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For the Lord, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord, thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Now, what does that have to do with us? How is that connected to us? Well, are we not the same in a way as Israel? Are we not? God has separated us in his providence. You may be born in a Christian family, in a Christian church, and you may go to a Christian school. God has separated you from those people that are born in the middle of Siberia who have no knowledge, or in the middle of Africa, or even in your own city. God separated you. You are under the administration of the covenant of grace. What a great blessing. So it's also for us. Not only that he has created us, but also that he has separated us. He has given his word, and he preached the law and gospel to us. But thirdly, especially for his dear, beloved, chosen people. Verse 3, and the sheep of his pasture. Who is he referring to? To the Israelites? No, not to the Israelites, but to the truly chosen, blessed people, to all the sheep of the good shepherd, all the true believers, all those who were born again, all those whom Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save. And he has sought them, and he has saved them. My friend, are you a sheep of the good shepherd? Are you? Are you a sheep of this good shepherd? Is that who you are? God is your creator. God separated you, and God even has chosen you. He sought you. He found you. He renewed you. Think of what God the Father all has done for you. What has he done? He especially has given his only beloved Son. Think of what the Son has done for you. And this could be many sermons, but think about it. What he has done for you, sheep of the good shepherd. He suffered. He died. He suffered the wrath that you should have eternally experienced. You are commanded to praise and to thank him, to live according to the psalm every day. We read in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. This is not about the Israelites, but listen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When's the last time, sheep, little lambs, that you, with mouth and heart, for example, confess what we read in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me. Bless his holy name. Are we not guilty? We're guilty. And so we have heard. And our first thought, the command to live, to praise, and to thank the Lord, because he's our creator. Because he has separated us, and especially you, recipients of grace. How? How are we to praise him? How are we to thank him? How are we to live in this way? Well, that leads us to our second thought, the character of praise. We read in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is the command of how we are to praise the Lord. What is to be the attitude in praise and in thanksgiving? What is it? What would you write on the paper if I asked you to write down? What is to be the attitude in praise and in thanksgiving? Psalm 100 answers this for us. Listen to the following phrases from verses in this psalm. Verse 1, make a joyful noise. 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Do you hear it? It's to be joyful, with gladness, singing, with thanksgiving, and with praises. What do these phrases mean? And I'm not speaking, and this psalm doesn't speak, that you emotionally stir you up, as I've seen in very radical Pentecostal churches in Bolivia. They use some music, and they get all emotional. That's not what it is at all. What is it? How do you sum this all up? You know what it is? It's that your heart, my heart, would throb and be aflamed with adoration for God. Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. I'll give you a little illustration, a little example. If you fall in love with someone, then your heart begins to throb for that person. And the more you know of that person, the more you want to know of that person, and the more your heart is inflamed with love for that person, you have a desire to be with that person, you have a desire to speak with that person, you have a desire to hear that person speak, you want to be close because your heart is throbbing with love for that person. By God's grace, this also is true in the heart of one who is born again. They long to see the Lord. They long to hear his voice. Oh, if he would speak to my soul and say, I am thy salvation. That would cause so much joy, and their hearts would throb with love and praise and adoration for him. They long for him to speak. They long to be in the worship services, not only to think about self, but just to hear something of him, of the Almighty God, and of that precious Savior. My friends, if our hearts could be inflamed with love for a sinner, a person, should not our hearts much more, infinitely more, be inflamed and throb with love for God, for our Creator, for our Provider, for our Beholder? And especially you, children of God, of all that he has done for you. Oh, how sinful we are when we lay our hearts next to the psalm. Is he your Creator, Provider, Protector? And is he also your salvation? Listen to the exhortations that we hear in the following psalms. Psalm 63, verse 5. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 71, verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Do you know something of redemption for your own soul? Do you? Then your heart should be like Psalm 100. But maybe you say, but Pastor, when we think of who we are, with all our sin, with all our iniquity, and we're bowed down, we're mourning, we're weeping, how can we sing? How can we live according to the psalm? How can we enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise and singing? How? How can such a sinful wretch, who feels all his sin, all his iniquities, all his shortcomings, and all his sin, how can he live this psalm and truly rejoice with a heart throbbing with love for the Lord? How? Thinking of self? No. No. How? By meditating, by dwelling on the goodness and the mercy of God, of looking back in your life, of what God has done for you, in seeing those stones of memorial, that there he sought me and found me, there he taught me and stripped me, there he spoke to my soul, there I tasted a little love at the Lord's Supper, and a multitude of other things. Yes, when we think of self, we can only be sorrowful, and it's right and good that we would weep of our sins. But there's also that part of praise, is there not? And they can go together in the same heart and the same life. Yes. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Did you hear it? As sorrowful, thinking of self, but always rejoicing. How? By meditating upon Him. Worship is to be focused upon God, upon the triune God, upon His greatness, His mercy, His holiness, His justice, all His attributes, by meditating upon Him. That is the only way we will ever be stirred up, meditating upon the triune God who was so gracious for such a wretch. Meditating upon Him, that would bring us to that place where we're not only thinking of self, mourning of sin, but also rejoicing. Rejoicing. This is how we should live every day, especially you, beloved children of God. Enter into His courts with praise. Is this easy? No. Why? Because of our flesh, because of our sinfulness. Is this possible? How? How can the children of God, maybe in deep afflictions, how can they live this way? Is it possible? How? It's possible. It's possible. By God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. I will share one example with you. I think of Paul and Silas, dear children of God, recipients of God's grace. These two dear children, they were beaten. Beaten severely and thrown into jail. Uncared for, shackled to the wall, laying with their bleeding backs on the concrete, hard, cold ground. Locked up. And there they're in that jail. Do you hear them say, praying? And I say this very reverently, Lord, please take us out of this place. Lord, why are we here? Why did this happen to us? Did we hear that? Do we read in the Bible? No, we don't. What do these two children of God do by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit? Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Deeply affected. And yet, they sang praises unto God. How could these two men do this in such circumstances? Would I do this? Would you do this? They surrendered their lives. Everything. They learned to surrender everything, every day, unconditionally to the good master, faithful master in heaven, and to their faithful father. They looked above all the circumstances. They looked to Him who is invisible, who's in control of all things. They lived looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the secret. To live a close, dependent, surrendering life close to the good shepherd. Without this, it's absolutely impossible. Oh, may our life be like this, children of God. Psalm 145, verse 1 through 3. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. So what is the character of praise? Joyful, continual, gladness, thankful, grateful. No, we are not to come into His presence with reluctance. Melancholy, depressed. No, we are to come into His presence as we read in this psalm. How? Living, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so we come to the end of this thought. Do they live perfectly like this, God's children? Do we? No, we don't. We don't. We live far from this psalm, must we not confess? But the perfection is coming. That's no excuse, but it's coming. That perfect praise and thanksgiving. Soon we will be delivered from all the wretched carnal, that sin, that wretchedness, and we will forever delivered, and we will enter into that praise. And you, unconverted friend, I must tell you again, without God's grace, you do not have one spark of what we read in the psalm. You need a radical renewal. You need to make haste and go on your knees and beg the Lord, Lord, I have heard how we are commanded to live. And may it be tonight you come home and you bow your knees and say, Lord, I don't have one desire for this. My whole life has been so far, I'm guilty. It was all self. And that you cry unto him and beg him, Lord, renew me. I need a new will. I need new thoughts, affections, desires. I need a complete radical regeneration. Lord, for thy name's sake, renew me, that I may begin to live in this way. And children of God, we're guilty, we're sinful, and we need that continual sanctification, that continual being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we would have more zeal for this, more love for this, more desire for this, to live praising and thanking God. We need his righteousness to cover us, and we need his blood to wash us. And so we come to the end. We have heard the command. We have heard the character. What is the purpose? I said a few things, but before we go to our next thought, let us sing from Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2. 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and our most holy triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy, he hath made salvation known. In the sight of every nation, he his righteousness hath shown. 261, 1 and 2. Thank you. psalm of praise, an exhortation to praise Jehovah. We've considered the command. We've considered the character, how and when. And now the third thought, the purpose. Why do you come to church? Children of God, especially you, why do you come to church? I've heard it so often. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. I don't get fed. I've heard it many times. I don't get fed. And yes, there must be food in God's house for those little lambs, for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Feed my sheep." There must be food. But is it all about you? Is it all about you being fed, satisfied? What's the purpose of coming to church? What's the purpose of praise? What's the purpose of thanksgiving? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Did you hear it? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The purpose is to bless. What does that mean? It means to come to exalt him, to praise the name of Jehovah. The entire focus should be on him. Yes. The entire focus should be on him. He is worthy of our whole heart, and that we would be focused on praising and worshiping him. Not in the first place, coming for myself. What can I receive? And yes, as I said, God's people are fed by the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He's that water that thirsty sinners may have their thirst quenched by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Word of God. But what is the essential focus of worship? Is it about man? Or is it about God? It's about God. God, God, God. The focus of worship is on the Almighty Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Worship is putting self second. That it don't only come to church for myself, but I come to church for him. Have you ever? Have I? Have you ever come to church for him? That you long? Oh, Lord, how great thou art. Thou art so worthy to be worshipped, to be focused upon. What is a good day? What is a blessed day in God's house? May I ask you, children of God, among us, sheep of the good shepherd, what is the best day in God's house for you? You know what the best day is? When you can forget all about self, all your sin, all your burdens, all your needs, and that you may sit in your bench and you can just hear of that wonderful Almighty God, and that your whole heart is focused upon him, or upon that precious Savior of sinners. When he visits you, when he visits you in the worship service, and you hear of him, and your heart is inflamed, oh, may I hear more of him. May I hear more of him. David's one desire was to come to God's house to behold the beauty of God. David didn't come in the first place that David would be fed. David came to behold the beauty of God. May the Lord give it that I, as a sinful man, through the preaching, may lift up that precious name, and that you may behold through the preaching of the word the beauty of God. Because when you can forget everything of self, and that you can just listen and hear, and that he reveals himself by his grace, by the Holy Spirit, and your whole heart and focus can be on him, that's a blessed worship service. Have you ever had such a worship service? Maybe not even in church. Maybe in your home. Maybe in a hospital bed, the Lord visits you by his word and he speaks to your soul. Or maybe in your tractor, in your office. What is the purpose of praise? The whole purpose of praise is to glorify, bless, and worship the Almighty, only true God. It's all about His glory, His honor, and that's the joy of His people. That's a good day when they can forget about self and just worship Him, not because they have to, but because they have seen something of Him and it just flows out of their hearts. They can't stop it. They must, and they will sing. Their heart radiates and throbs. But how? How can we ever get our heart in such a place? How can we live with this? How can we cultivate our hearts this way, children of God? So often our hearts are so hard again, so lifeless, so cold, so spiritless. Only thinking about my needs, thinking about all my cares, all about self, instead of focusing upon Him. How? How can we? How should we? How can we cultivate this, that we would live this way? And so we come to the last thought tonight as we meditate upon this psalm, the practice of this praise. Some try it with bands. Yeah? With bands. They bring bands into the church and new music that stirs up the emotion. But ask those people. They've come to the church in Tarika. You know what they feel after a while? Empty. Absolutely empty. Because that doesn't help. That doesn't stir up. That doesn't cultivate praise. A little emotional and you go home, it's empty. It's nothing. How? Friend, you must first be born again. That's first. You need God's grace. Because without His grace, as I said already, you will never ever begin to live this way. You first need to be brought into relation with Him. Because how can you really praise someone you don't know? It's impossible. And we're born in a separated relationship with God. And we don't know Him. And we don't know the Savior. So how can we praise Him? So we first need to be brought into relationship with Him. And then we need to be brought closer and closer and closer. We need that good shepherd to guide us as sheep, because so often we're going astray this way and we're going astray that way. But we need Him to gather us, to correct us, to reprove us, to instruct us. By God's mercy, sinners are brought into relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and they know Him. And they begin to know Him more and more through the Word. Through the Word. Through the preaching of the Word. Through the reading of the Word. We read in Job, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. I'm getting a little acquainted with you as a congregation. I'm starting to know some of you. But here we read, acquaint now thyself with God. That means that you would come to know Him and know Him more and more. How can we come to know Him? The sheep of the Good Shepherd are brought into that relationship, but how can they come to know Him? What would cultivate that adoration and that praise? Before I go further, remember those men on the way to Emmaus? Remember them walking, dejected, sad? Their Savior was dead? Think about that for a moment. God's children can be very sad, very in a depth again, very deep, missing everything. But these men were walking there. They were missing their Savior. They believed their Savior was dead. And He hasn't risen yet. But then He came. And He walked beside Him. He walked beside them. And what did He do? I'll show you what He did. He took the Bible, so to speak. He took the Bible. And He showed them from Moses. here's Christ. He took the Psalms and he said, here's Christ. And he took the prophets and he spoke about Christ. He spoke about himself. And this caused those men what? What did they say when he left them? What did he say? Did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? Has your heart ever burned with love and flame for the precious Savior of sinners? How can this be cultivated? I hope you understand what I mean. By meditating upon Him, upon His greatness, His goodness, His mercy. And that's how this psalm ends. Verse 5, read it with me. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Three precious attributes of God. This psalm ends. It was a doxology for the Israelites to praise and to thank God. And the psalm ends all about God, three of His attributes. God, the Lord, is good. Know ye that the Lord is God. Be thankful unto Him and bless Him, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good in everything He does. Yes, in everything. That He gives you sickness. That He sends afflictions. The Lord is good. He's infinitely good. He's an infinitely wise Father that knows exactly what each of His little lambs and sheep need for their good. He's good. He's infinitely good. God and goodness go together. That's who He is. That's His being. That's His attribute. God is good. Meditate upon the goodness of God. The goodness of God, that all He has given you in this past year. The goodness of God, that He has cared for you and kept you alive until this very moment. God is good. Is He not, children of God? Can you not testify with me tonight? He is good. Everything that He has done in my life is good. We read in Acts 14, verse 17, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. But think about His abundant goodness. Where do we see that? In Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, the goodness of God, the gospel, the good news. That God sent His only beloved Son into the world to seek and to save sinners. Goodness. Listen to what we read in Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why is God good to sinners? How can God be good to sinners? That's the next attribute in the same verse. The Lord is merciful. Know ye the Lord, He is God. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. His mercy is everlasting. The mercy of God is the attribute of God that reveals to us that He does not deal with us according to all our sins and iniquity. He's merciful. Merciful. God is merciful. And now we read something in Micah 7, verse 18. Because He. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise to exalt the Almighty God, Jehovah. And now listen about the pronoun that refers to Him. Because He delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. God is mercy, and He delights in mercy. How can He, that infinite, holy God, delight in mercy? That's only through His Son. His Son that did not experience mercy on the cross, but that was cast out, that suffered, that died, that cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he had no answer. No answer. And he was put to death because God delighteth in mercy, being merciful to such absolutely unworthy sinners, thankless sinners, sinners who do not live as they should, according to Psalm 100, every day living to the praise and to the glory of his name, because his son lived that for them and paid for them and took away that wrath for them. God is good. Meditate upon it. All of you, but especially you, recipients of God's grace. God is merciful. God is merciful. Is he not? Meditate upon it. And the last attribute we read in this psalm, in this verse, is that he is, and his truth endureth to all generations. This speaks of his faithfulness. The word of the Lord shall stand forever. And he says, the mountain shall depart. Think of that. Have you ever seen the Rockies? Those great mountains? Those immovable, you would think, mountains? The mountain shall depart. But my love shall never depart. It shall not. Has he made you an object of his love? Has he sought you? Has he found you? Has he renewed you? He's that faithful God. In your feelings, you may miss it all. But what he has begun, he will continue. He cannot break his covenant. He's a faithful God. Children, how do we see God's faithfulness when it rains and there's a little sun? How do we see God's faithfulness? We see that rainbow in the sky. That's a sign of God's faithfulness. He is true to his word, to all his promises, and to all his threats. He's faithful. He said, the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. God is faithful. We died spiritually. We died temporally. And we deserve eternal death. But God is faithful to the promise of his word, of his dear son. His dear son, he said a Messiah would come, and he came. He said his son would come, and he would merit salvation for people who had nothing to pay. And he came, and he paid it all. He's faithful to his word, to his promise. God is good. Meditate upon him. God is good. Merciful. Meditate upon it. God is faithful. His love will never change. His word is sure. John 3 verse 60. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How is it that God can be so good, so merciful, and so faithful? It's because what we read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, for all the promise of a God in him, in Jesus Christ, are yea and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Because all his promises are sealed in that precious blood of the Lamb. And so we come to the end of Thanksgiving Day. My friend, how is it in your heart? We're all guilty, are we not? We're all guilty because, as I said, who lives according to the psalm? Beg the Lord. Beg the Lord then for his grace, that he would give you a heart that is found in the psalm. And beg him, children of God, that he would draw you, that you would run after him, that there'd be more love, that he would visit you, and that your heart would throb and burn within you as those men of Emmaus, and that we may live according to the psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may we together then bow before Thee at the end of this service and beg Thee for the forgiveness of all our sins. O Lord, by nature we do not have one piece of what we have read in this psalm. Have mercy upon those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Renew them, and that they may have a beginning of this new life, planted by Thee, upheld by Thee, preserved by Thee, kept by Thee. And Lord, also together, as Thy dear people, we also must confess all our sin, so often so self-centered, so focused on self, on our feelings, on our own needs and our cares, instead of focusing, meditating upon Thee. Lord, may we beg Thee, bless Thy word richly, mightily, in each of our hearts and our lives, that our hearts, by Thy grace, by Thy work of the Spirit, may be inflamed as those men of Emmaus that were visited by Thee. O Lord, visit us, reveal Thyself unto us, and draw Thyself unto Thee. Lord, keep us in this week. Remember also George and Savannah, who hope to be married this Friday. Care for them, and give also that they may begin their life together here in Thy house, under Thy blessing and in Thy favor. Help Thy servant also to bring a message unto them and to their families, and that it may be blessed. Help us all in our daily responsibilities to live for Thy honor, for Thy glory. Lord, forgive our many sins. Cover us, Lord, with Thy righteousness, and cleanse us and wash us with Thy blood, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In closing, let us sing from Psalter 283, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Psalter 283, 1, 2, and 5. O come, my soul, bless Thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless His holy name. Bless Thou the Lord, forget not all His mercies, His pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. Bless Him, ye angels, wondrous in might, bless Him, His servants, that in His will delight. 283, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.